Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. You're very welcome to our latest edition of the Meet Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game. I'm Fergal Lynch. Again, housebound, still at home, working from home, Jimmy. As always, joined by the wonderful Mr. Jimmy Gagan. Are you getting used to me not being in the office, Jimmy?
Yes, getting used to you, Fergal. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. Don't rush back. You're okay.
Okay, right. Yeah. Thanks, ahead. Jimmy. Thanks for that.
It's a lot quieter.
We had a busy week, Jimmy. My headphones aren't seem to be working here, but anyway.
So
we had a busy week, Jimmy, with just had to fix the headphones there. We had a busy week with probably the highlight of the weekend being the Meath Camogie victory in the All-Ireland Intermediate semi-final. Really delighted for the girls. They've fallen at the penultimate hurdle for the last 3 years, so it's great to get back up and running and back to Croke Park for them.
Yes, it was. It was a tremendous occasion because, as you say, last couple of years, they've lost out the semi-final stage. Oh, some very narrowly, some they were well beaten. I remember 1 year by Down, but they certainly played extremely well in the second half on Saturday's match. It was just a performance that was very well timed because they'd lost to Westmeath in Raharney there a couple of weeks ago. And so that didn't augur well for them going into Saturday's game. But they produced the best display of the season, I would guess. I didn't see them play against Cork now, Fergal. That was down in Turles, all right, in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, very impressive in the second half of that game. And you could see where they had learnt the lessons from the loss to Westmeath in Raharney in the group stages. You could really see where they'd learnt the lessons from that one. But it was a very impressive second half performance against Cork in the quarterfinal, and they really kicked on.
Very impressive, yes. I know, but at the same time, it still took a goal from Amy Gaffney just to seal it. They were a point up when Amy struck and just on the hour mark.
Turnaround, like it's a 12 point, it's more than a 12 point turnaround. They won by what? They won by four. So you're looking at a 16 point turnaround from that game. Is it even a month ago, that game in Raharney? So, you know, what's changed, Jimmy, in the month? Like they had a 12 point defeat. I think it was 4-11 to 2-5 or something in Raharney. And then they win 1-11 to 10 points on Saturday. Like you were at both games, so you know.
Well, I think what has changed. Okay, there might have been some tactical differences in the sense that they became more. They looked at what they were doing in that game in Raharney, and they, they felt that defensively they needed to tighten things up and really be fortify themselves. But I think the greatest change has been attitude. They were very, very disappointed after that game in Raharney. They just felt they didn't do themselves any justice at all. And they wanted to put that right, Fergal. And as you know, attitude is so important among any group of players going out. And
Was it a case in Raharney that they were already qualified from the group? Now, I know as it transpired, they had to go into a quarterfinal. But was it a case of a little bit of apathy maybe going into it that kind of, you know, they weren't at 100%, they were only operating at 80%. And as we all know, if you're even a couple of percent off your game at this level, it spells disaster.
Yeah, look, attitude. Well that all feeds into the attitude. Westmeath had to win that game to really sustain themselves in the championship. They really had to win that game. So, and that's what they did. But Meath had been true anyway. It was just a matter of whether they're true to a quarterfinal or a semi-final. So, yeah, but it all feeds again into the attitude, the way that they approached the game. Westmeath were obviously fired up for that game in Raharney. Meath were obviously fired up for that game in Temple Stadium on Saturday because they were extremely, extremely good right from the start. And I know they trailed by a point at half time, but Westmeath are a very good team. You know, and Sheila McGrath is a very good player for them, and she was causing me all sorts of problems. But they came to terms with her in the second half, reduced her influence. And I mean, Aoife Minogue won the Player of the Match award, and right, you know, it was a tremendous performance from her. But this was really one of those occasions, Fergal. It was a classic team display, you know, for everybody played their part. You watched it, I think, online, and
that comes across. That comes across very much in your match report in this week's paper about how important the team collective was. But you also were very fulsome in your praise of Aoife Minogue. If we just give her just a mention, okay, the day of the dual player is fast becoming a thing of the past, but she has operated at the highest level this year, got to a senior quarterfinal only last week, had to dust off the disappointment of that loss in Tralee, and then had to watch as three quarters of her teammates flew off to Portugal on a team holiday. And they're all in Portugal this week, while she was in the lashings of rain in Dungannon or Rathmullen or wherever they trained last week. Aoife was putting her body on the line and on the cause, dying for the cause for Meath Camogie, and she was exceptional on Saturday.
She was exceptional. It was her surging runs, you know, characteristically surging runs. They're tremendous for turning sort of a spark in an attack, turning defence into attack very quickly, and she can do that very well. They cause all sorts of problems for her. They tried a number of players on her, and she was well supported, of course, by Grace Coleman there in midfield, and they really took charge in the second half. And defensively, Meath were very strong too. But what we saw on this team is, some of those players that played on Saturday, like Sophia Payne, she has gone through the previous three. Sophia, for example, she would played in three previous semi-finals when they lost. So this was a day of redemption for her and for the others. We might just listen to what Sophia had to say and her reaction to Saturday's victory, Fergal.
You also caught up with Brendan Skeehan as well, so we might play the two interviews here back to back and just be able to have a listen to them here as well.
This is our fourth semi-final and we got the win. So we lost three before now.
Well, have you played in all three before this? All before today, you played in all three against...
I did. The first one against Down. Then we played Kilkenny, and last year we lost to Galway, who went on to win it.
Right, okay. Yeah. So what does it feel like after all these setbacks?
It's kind of surreal, to be honest, because you feel like someone's just going to take it away from you. I can't believe we're actually going to Croke Park now. And I think we knew ourselves we could do it, but after the game in Raherne, I think a lot of people around the county and around the country were doubting us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Doubting you, yes, but you didn't doubt yourselves.
I suppose we had to take a good look at ourselves after Raherne. I think individually we were all disappointed, and as a collective we didn't play to what we set out to do. So we went back and we had a look at ourselves, and then against Cork, I think Cork are an excellent side and we really lifted it against them, and once we beat them we were like, Jesus, we can go the whole way.
Yeah, that gave you great confidence as well.
Definitely, yeah.
Because he's wanted to put things right, I presume, after Raherne today, you know, this is... You want to put things right.
Yeah, we definitely did want to put things right, and I suppose we need to string. We've struggled in the last number of years stringing good performances together. We went out in Rathmullen last year and we beat Kilkenny by 9 points, which is a good day at the office anytime. But then we struggled to back it up with strong performances after that. So I think today it was a huge marker for us to go out after beating Cork 2 weeks ago and doing an excellent job again today. I think we're delighted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the battling performance was tremendous, wasn't it? I mean, it really went for every ball with great hunger and desire.
Yeah. I think those conditions, like with that wet, slippy ball, it always comes down to who wants it more. And I think we just brought the energy and the fight, and you know, it's still the finest margins, and Westmeath were an excellent side today, so you can't take from that, but just delighted to get over the line.
Yeah. How long have you played for Meath now, Sophia?
This is my seventh year. I joined the team in 2017 when they were in the All-Ireland final, but I was only on the panel, I was only on the fringes, and then made my breakthrough the following year.
Yeah, that was in Dáil Éireann Intermediate Final.
Yeah,
which they won under John Davis.
Yeah, under John Davis. Yeah.
The one that, you know, but you didn't play any part in it as such. But
No, I was just a fringe player making up the numbers. But
they got to Croke Park. Oh, it was here, wasn't it?
It was in Croke Park, and it went to a replay. Against Cork second team. So. Again, we've had many battles with them, so it's nice to knock them out last weekend.
So you've never played in Croke Park, Sophia, has it always?
We played the league final.
Sorry, the league final, yeah. Yes. That was what, two years ago?
No, this year we played the league final
yeah.
Against
Kerry.
Kerry,
yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it's a chance for you to go back and get some redemption.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we were really disappointed 1 point in that game to not get a win in Croke Park. And when you get there, you really want to be grinding out the win. And I don't think we'll mind how we do it, whether it's fancy or who gets on the scoreboard. We just want to win on the day. So I think we all just want to come together as a collective now in the next 2 weeks.
Did you feel you left your best maybe behind, or your chance of winning in the, against Kerry? You played quite well in that game.
We did play quite well in that game. And like, I think we put it up to Kerry, but then I suppose when we went down to Kerry, we showed how much better than we were this year and how we could have bet them in Croke Park. So I suppose when you look at it in hindsight, we possibly did leave a bit behind in Croke Park the last day, and there's definitely, every game you go out, there's room for improvement, and I think it's about clicking at the right time, and hopefully we're getting that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, what do you work at? Are you a student?
No, I'm working. I'm a trainee accountant.
Accountant, very good. Okay, so you're obviously extremely good at the maths.
I don't know about that. But thank God for calculators.
Good at the figures anyway. Training accountant. So that's this, all the figures added up today, everything worked out well today, all the sums added up today.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I think Ellen put in an excellent quote, our captain Ellen, this morning into the group chat about luck, and it was saying that you make your own luck, and I think we really did today. We just went for every single ball like our lives depended on it, and I think that's what it came down to the end.
Huge relief at the final whistle there, and said, but you must be a very, very happy man.
I was very happy at the end there, yeah, that's for sure. It was relief, but I think our Gaelics were very strong at the end there. It wasn't like we were holding on for dear life. I mean, if anything, every time the ball went in there for the Meath Gaelics, we looked dangerous. And I think they were a little bit desperate. Westmeath were desperate at the end to try to force the ball in there to try and get a goal, get back in the game. But I think certainly you could see the fire and the desire from our girls today. They wanted to win that badly. You know, they want to get back in there to Croke Park. And the way we're thinking, it's not about the win today. It's more thinking of the feeling that we had in Croke Park last, you know, during the league there, and kicking on from that. So I'm hoping that experience will stand to us, and they don't want to see that, kind of have that feeling again after that game, you know.
Yeah. What were you thinking though, coming out of Raharney a few weeks ago with a 10-point defeat and the concession of 4 goals? Very difficult to lift the team. How difficult was it for you to lift the team after that, especially with the same opposition today?
I suppose that win against Cork helped a lot. But we knew after that game against Westmeath, we looked at ourselves and we did a bit of soul searching, and we knew that it was nowhere near the performance that we were capable of showing. We got it wrong in the day, and I'll put my hand up and say we didn't do our tactics. You know, we didn't set out properly. We left glaring holes at the back. We left ourselves exposed. But the girls, you know themselves as well, would stand up and say they were a little bit flat going into the game. And maybe it's the same with Westmeath today. They came out after a big victory. We had a big victory in the league against them. And I think it's dangerous. I'm sorry. Talked again. I believe it's a dangerous way to be thinking, and no disrespect to Westmeath, but I'm pretty sure that they came out, you know, as firm favourites in their own heads today. So it's always good, you know, especially for me teams, to come in and be the underdog and get out there and have that grit and fire. And when the girls have the fire in their bellies, I can guarantee you that the actual tactical end of things goes up a notch as well. Like, I mean, they were, you know, their technical and tactical skills and the movement around the pitch, it was very good today. They did their homework themselves. They were covering positions, they're covering the strong players, and at times when we needed to get the ball into hand and down the forward and moving fast with space in front of us, they did it, you know. So I was happy with that, very happy with the performance of the girls. Yeah,
the Westmeath player scored 3 goals and a point against you in that game, and Raharney didn't score today.
Yeah, well, again, the only time we look back is, I suppose, to learn and look forward in that. And we didn't think about that. We said we'd mark her out again. We'd keep her tightly marked. We had our, I suppose, our pairings and our matchups done. And we did our homework on it, the same way we did our homework against Cork. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can get it right against Derry. Let's look forward now, you know, and we have a massive battle. Derry had, as you know, a very, very good performance here today. We didn't see much of it, but to come back and to win an extra time, you know, so profoundly like that, you know, we know we're up against it, so...
Well, again, coming up to half time today, you had played some great camogie and doing very well for periods in the game, but going in a point down with maybe three goal chances squandered, going in a point down, wasn't looking, you were in very much in the game, of course, but you weren't in the pole position that you could have been in.
No, we left some scores out there for sure. Yeah, we ran the ball through, took a little bit more out of it then, and the guys now in that scoring zone, you know, mix it up a bit, go for your points, take your points, but I think I was more disappointed in what we talked about was our discipline in the frees. I think out of the 7 points that Derry got in the first half, I think they certainly scored at least three from frees. So, you know, and they were, you know, if we just put the girls, put them under pressure rather than give a straightforward point away with a free. So, you know, they were the things that we were a little bit upset about at half time, and we said we'd have to work on in the second half. But yeah, no, I wasn't worried at all at half time. I knew once we played the way we were only a point down. I think it was all to play for in the second half, and we showed in the last few games, you know, Barrett had Westmead game the last day, but we showed in the games the second half against Kerry, against Cork, that if we believe in it and we know that we can do it, we kick on and finish very strongly, you know. So I'm hoping, like I said, that we can build on this, prepare for Derry, and look forward to a good day out in Croke Park again. Yeah,
Brendan, you won't really like to single out players or anything, but there's one player absolutely I think the supporters would have just come down here today if they thought they were going to see that type of performance. She was absolutely outstanding, Aoife Manon.
She's massive. Like, you know, like she's all over the pitch. You know, I'd be trying to protect her at times, and she's running back into our full back line, and I'm telling her, you know, like the other players to get back there and give her a little bit of wind, and, you know, keep her, if any, she wants to run the other way, you know. But she picked up a bit of a knock last weekend in the football, and we were worried about her during the week. You know, she had a bit of a shoulder injury. But Aoife being the player she is, she's dive you out there. She's massive on her ability. She'd be on any county team, you know. So, Mead should be proud and honoured to have a player of her stature there. But she's such a proud Mead woman herself that, you know, she's very humble. She's a massive, massive player, without a doubt. Yeah, great admiration for her.
Having already played in Croke Park this year, Brendan, it won't need much motivation for the girls to go back and want to prove themselves better on the big stage.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, they got the experience, you know, there earlier on in the year, and the experience of playing in Croke Park for a lot of them, because it was their first time there. So that experience now has been there, and the experience of losing, I'm hoping that it'll drive them on, you know. I really do. It should. That feeling that they had coming off that pitch, a 1 point loss at the end of that game, you know, that should burn inside them, and they should really want to go out. So, you know, we know we're going up against a really strong Derry outfit, and again, I've no doubt that Derry will see themselves as favourites on the day. They're flying this year, so we relish going in there and giving it a shot.
Yeah, you must obviously, the words you said at half time were inspiring, because they were such a transformed team when they came out for the second half, you know.
Do you know what, we said everything beforehand, we had them all worked up before the game, not so much that they just lost touch and control on what they were at, but there wasn't much that needed to be. We just needed to calm them down, and the bottom line was there was 1 point in it at half time, and all that needed to be said is it's there, and whoever wants this the most is going to take it and win it, and it's as simple as that, and they knew it themselves. So it was the fire inside them, it was the sheer desire and want to get past this stage that got them there. I think, you know, their touch was there on the day, you know. There were times it was awkward in the second half for both teams with that rain coming down incessantly like that, but yeah, look, I mean, they did brilliantly at the end of the day.
Jimmy, yeah, Sophia Payne, as you mentioned, she suffered the heartache of three semi-final defeats in a row, and she can recall each of them very vividly. Is this... Mead getting back to Croke Park, so now they'll play Derry in the All-Ireland Intermediate Final on the 6th of August in Croke Park. They've had great clashes with Derry over the years, but it's not unfamiliar territory. So while Mead have had semi-final disappointments for the last 3 years, they've been in Croke Park for big games a few times, but a lot of these are new players, and a huge credit has to go to Brendan Skeaton for bringing through a lot of new young players. And you look at the likes of Olivia O'Halloran and what she's done. She's been exceptional. Several other players have come in to the set there as young players. Tara Murphy in goals, yeah, and young Rachel O'Neill in defence as well. And Just exceptional players. M. O'Connell, there's Foley Girl as well, has stepped up. All stepped up. And so it's basically a new team. And to get back to an All-Ireland final so quickly with a new team, it's great testament to Brendan Skehan and Anton O'Neill. Of course, he's got an able lieutenant there. And I think Ed O'Riordan, is he involved as well?
Yeah, and Dave Dunning.
Yeah, so he has great help there and great coaches and men with huge hurling experience. So it's really good to see Meath back at dining at the top table again.
Yeah, because, I mean, we lost a couple of players last year. There was, Jane Dolan, you know, lost Katrina Troy, there was Sinead Hackett, you know, they lost a few players. So to lose players of that quality, and that's only some of them, that stepped aside after last year. So, you would never have thought, I think, at that stage that they would have get to an All-Ireland final, because you would think that maybe, well, this is going to spark a spell of sustained rebuilding and so on. But, look where they are. Look what this infusion of youth has brought to this team, Fergal. They've really re-energized the side. And then we've got the more experienced players who have come to the fore as well this season and played extremely well.
And Claire Coffey, Ellen Burke, Ethan Minogue, they've been exceptional. Grace Coleman,
Tracy King. Brilliant.
Yeah, really, really
excellent. Some hero of this team.
Yeah, yeah. But Jimmy, we'll look forward to the All Ireland final maybe on next week's podcast. We have a 2 week, as we said, the final against Derry. But well done to the Meath ladies, the Camogie team. As I said on Twitter, after 5 years of All Ireland finals with the lady footballers, and they surrendered their crown last week against Kerry. It's great that we still have an All-Ireland final to look forward to. That the ladies in Meath never let us down. Sure they don't. They never let us down.
No. They haven't, certainly not. And as somebody pointed out to me that's connected with Meath Camogie, and he pointed out in a very proud way, this is the last team really remaining, flying the flag for the Royal County at senior level and going for All-Ireland titles. Yeah. So brilliant. And they deserve tremendous praise for the commitment, because we've seen the various problems they've had to overcome over this year, Fergal, in terms of pitches. They've had to train in Abbottstown at one stage.
Yeah,
they've had
yeah.
to train in the porch fields in Trim.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a pitch at all. how do you go through your striking routines and so on a really, it's a lovely...
Maybe these are issues that will be solved by this new agreement that's going to be signed between the GPA and the GAA and with the Camogie Association and the LGFA. So maybe a lot of these issues will be solved. But there's a huge demand on pitches and facilities, not just in Meath, but around the country, at every team. And now there's development squads and there's subsidiary teams and there's backup squads and for main squads. So the teams are just looking for the use of facilities all over the country, and it's a huge demand. Now you add in if and when, and hopefully it does happen sooner rather than later, the Camogie Association and the LGFA join the GAA and they start making, they'll have as much a demand and or much a call on those pitches and facilities as a men's team or and the men's GA team in the hurling or the football. So it'll be interesting days ahead. But yeah, Jimmy, we look forward to that All-Ireland Intermediate Final.
It's on the 6th of August, Fergal.
6th of August in Croke Park, be on along with the June, the Nancy Murray and the Intermediate and the Senior Final, I think, are all on the same day as far as I know. Jimmy, we had a full round of fixtures in the Senior Hurling Championship, but they didn't all take place. The weekend is a sports editor's nightmare when messages start coming through on Saturday evening. This game is off and that game is off, and all you're thinking of is how am I going to fill the pages of the Meath Chronicle. But there were a few games went ahead at the weekend. Friday night, Kiltale managed to get their bid back on track. They suffered a heavy defeat against Trim in the first round, but they bounced back with a 117-15 victory over Ratolt in Park Tulchan. We had Tom Gannon at that game for us. I think Stephen Donoghue with the goal for Kiltale and a 9 or 10 point haul for Jack Regan. So Kiltale are back on track. There, it's probably a disappointing defeat for Ratolt, who had won their first game, albeit it was against one of the teams coming up from Group B in Killine. And Killine suffered another defeat on Friday night, losing to Kildare 117-12. So Kildare are flying high, Jimmy. You'll be delighted with that result. And their second team, which is something that we'll have to maybe discuss in a column in the paper, the second team beating Navan Matney's first team 5-17-1-3 in the intermediate.
Yeah.
You know, a small village like Kildare beating a metropolis Navan. The fourth biggest town in Ireland.
Yes, I mean, it's something really, you know, that should be highlighted at Fergal time and again, because what's happening in these big towns? I know Trim are doing very well. They've got they seem to be able to have succeeded, as you know very well, it succeeded in getting a very structured underage system going, where there's a flow of conveyor belt of talent coming through there all the time, and they're doing that very well. But what's happening in Navan, Navan O'Malley's?
You know, is it distractions? Is it distractions of other sports? Is it that, you know, okay, in Trim, there's only one GA club. Okay, your board's mail out the road, but they're, while they're part of the Trim parish, they're their own community as well. But in Navan, you have, you know, basically you have O'Mahony's, you have Simonstown, you have Bechtiff, you have Walterstown, you have Centerstown just on the outskirts of it as well. They're like, Wolf Tones aren't a million miles away, I know, even though they're probably more geared towards that Orristown parish out there. But there's a huge draw on the young people that live in and around Navan. Plus, they have the distraction of so many other sports, which I know is the same in other towns, but it's a second team from Kildare to beat Navan O'Mahony's by 25 points in an intermediate hurling championship game. And Kildare generally do well in their second team, and they have a good third team. I think got to the final at the junior championship last year as well. So maybe just Kildare are a really, really exceptional hurling village.
And you have to remember that they've got three teams. They've got a team in the junior as well.
Kildare. That's the same. Yeah, they got to the final of that last year.
Yeah. So you know, to sustain those three teams, like, there's a tremendous tradition of hurling, of course, in the village and in that area. But there's distractions there as well for young people in other sports, because distance is not really an issue. They can play as well in other sports if they want, a rugby or soccer in neighbouring towns and so on. So the distraction is there as well. But somehow or other, it's to do with this tremendous tradition that feeds through. But somehow or other, they managed to you know, get their young talent and keep it and develop these teams. I think it depends on, you know, there's some people have, you know, Kildare, they've just devoted to hurling and spend hours and hours, you know, working with the underage teams and so on. That's obviously a big factor as well.
I'm sure that there are
some people in the Manis as well who spend hours and hours in underage teams.
There are, undoubtedly. And speaking of tradition, Jimmy, one of the traditional powerhouses got back to winning ways as well. Kilmessan, of course, 29 times Jubilee Cup winners. They lost the opening round, probably surprisingly, but when you see Fine Gael's results then since, maybe not a big surprise. But Kilmessan got back to winning ways with a 21-17 victory over Dundarry. And in the other game in Group B, Fine Gael were 2-12-10 winners over St. Peter's Dunboyne.
Yeah. So, I was at that game, and I saw them playing Kilmessan as well, Fergal, and you know, they are a really very exciting team to watch. They're full of young players, full of pace and skill. And Clonagale, and they really are a force that's rising in Mead hurling, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how they get on this year.
Yeah, one of the games that was called off at the weekend on Saturday night, the pitch in Boards Mill, unsurprisingly, was deemed unplayable with the amount of rain that fell on Saturday evening. I think both Nafina and Trim had completed their their warm-ups up in the back pitch and were ready for action. But I think 10, 15 minutes before throw-in, the referee just called a halt to it and said, no, that's not, it's not safe. So Nafina played Trim. Actually, that game will go ahead tonight. Anybody that gets to hear this podcast today, Monday, the game is on tonight, Monday the 24th of July at 7:30 in Boards Mill, with Stephen Masterson refereeing it. And also, there was games called off, of course, in the Group B as well on Saturday night. The game in Kiltale fell a victim to the rain. So it's been refixed for tonight as well. Longwood against Blackhall Gales at 7:30 tonight. So it's a tight turnaround, Jimmy, for a lot of those players. I'm sure all four teams that will play tonight, Longwood, Blackhall Gales, Trim and Nafina, will have dual players then that will be expected to line out for their clubs in when the football championships start next weekend. I know it's tough. It's tough on the CCC, and they're probably saying, well, we have no control over the weather, but what can we do? But expecting lads to play two very, very intense championship games. So take Trim and Nafina, for example, with senior championship starting next weekend, that they're involved in senior hurling on a Monday night. And then I know Trim are out Saturday. I'll have to check and see when Nafina are out, just for definite. But in the space of 5 or 6, Nafina are out on Sunday. So with 4 or 5 days rest in between huge championship games, it's kind of unfair on the dual player. And we mentioned it with Aoife Minogue that there's almost becoming that the dual player is despised, but they're seen as nearly a nuisance at this stage for the fixture makers, who are struggling to find time to fit in games for all these players and to give them sufficient rest in between them.
Well, I don't know how the fixture makers look on the dual players. I'm sure they don't really think about, you know, in terms of their job is just to try and to get the fixtures fulfilled. And you know, they've got a very difficult job, as we know, Fergal. But it's not just this week that this situation is arising. You know, it's throughout now the next maybe 6 weeks, 2 months, really. But yeah, it's going to be a constant stream of games, week in, week out. Yeah. Senior hurling, senior football the next 2 weeks, I think. Then senior hurling again, and on it goes. So the players who are involved in both teams, see, in their clubs, well, their demands are going to be, they're going to be a huge demand on them. And is this fair? Is it fair? As I say, you can't really blame the fixture makers, you know.
You can't allow for the weather either. But, you know, on Monday night, Trim and Nafina, along with Blackhall Gales, on a Monday night where lads are after been working all day today, they'll have had to get home, try and get some sort of proper food into their system and be ready to go from 6:30, really. The game starts at 7:30, but they'll be there from 6:30 ready to do their warm-up and get going after doing a day's work, and then have to get tomorrow, normally a Tuesday and Thursday, football teams will start training. Tomorrow will be just all about recovery from today's thing. So when do the football coaches get their players, you know, have time to prepare those players? And it's hard on those players, asking them to go week in, week out. Like, You look at lads now, and I know Shane Walsh is injured, but he'd be a dual player for Nafina. Or Mickey Burke is a dual player. Now, Mickey's probably a bad example to be using because he's such a fitness fanatic and he's in serious condition. But to have to play tonight, he's going to have to recover tomorrow. The next training session for the footballers probably isn't until Thursday. So he's going to get one football session in before he has to go and play football then for Longwood. And it's the same with all the dual players. It's just so tough. I know, right, what's the solution? But it's probably harsh refixing that game from Saturday to have to play it tonight. Maybe find another time in the calendar to play it. But with 6 teams in the group, in the hurling, there's 5 rounds of games. There's only 3 rounds of games in the football before it gets to the knockout stages. So the calendar is fairly tight, I suppose, for them. But, you know, there has to be some more consideration given to the dual players, because it'd be a damn shame if we ever have to turn around and say to a Mickey Burke or a James Toher or a Doughy McGowan or and lads like this, right, lads, pick one. You can't ask them to do that.
Well, no, you can't ask them to do that. They won't want to make that choice, of course. But it's a difficult one, Fergus, because, you know, this is the time, the club time from now on. This is the new GAA season. So this is when county boards have to fix their club fixtures and get through them. Now, is there a need to have it in such a tight schedule? They could maybe push it back a little bit so that the final is in late October rather than early October.
They're finishing them just to have teams ready and competitions ready for provincial competition then, and that's where the rush comes in. Or what about the Wexford model of where they play? Okay, so the hurlers were out. The Christy Ring finished in May. Play the hurling championship 1 week after the other. Let's get the hurling championship done. And then when the footballers are done, then play the football championship. That's the do in Wexford. It's quite popular down there.
What happens though if you got a situation where there's a team with three senior county footballers on that hurling team, or four maybe? And the county manager is saying, "Well, you can't. We got that already this year here." You know, some of the footballers didn't play in the early rounds of hurling, but
the likes of a Doughty McGowan would say, yeah, so how could he play with Retort after the Christy Ring Cup is gone while the footballers? Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point, Jimmy.
Yeah,
It's a difficult one
for the, and I'm not sure now about this. We saw the president of the GA yesterday, McCarthy, before he presented the cup to the Limerick captain. You know, he talked about how this is the club time and they want club games to be played this time of the year, the good condition and so on. And we get that and so on. But from now on, you know, on the inter-county ground, this is another issue that's separate to what we're talking about. But it's the GAA are now conceding the publicity and so on to soccer. And so, you know, as soon as it's all going to be about the Premier.
I think the GAA are strong enough. It's a strong enough a brand that, you know, they don't need to be worrying about competing with somebody else. Maximize it. Don't be putting games behind. Don't be putting Tyrone and Kerry behind the paywall and accepting that and then saying, oh, well, we're not pushing our game as much as we should and we're losing out. If the GAA are that serious about promoting their game and wanting it to be seen by all and not having other teams take over, then don't be putting games behind paywalls just to line the pockets of more of these fat cats up in RTE. But we won't get down that route. But it's they can't do that. And this thing of, you know, the GAA, the club season starts now. Clubs are playing games since February, the end of January. So the club season doesn't start now. The club season is only halfway through. Okay, the serious stuff is starting now in terms of the championship. But the clubs have played in Meath. We've played our Fesh Cup, Tolchin Cup, Curran na Bonias. They've played their 11 or 12 rounds of the league. And now the hurling championship has two rounds done and the football championship starts next week. Which, by the way, we have a four-page preview to the start of the football championships in this week's Meath Chronicle. So make sure that people go out there and pick it up to see who we tip to win this year's championships. It's tough. And I know they say, oh, well, you know, now's the time for the club player. But there's only 2 or 3% of GAA players are inter-county players. But 100% of GAA players are club players.
Yeah.
They're all club players. So, you know, it is right that the clubs get their time and get to play in the good conditions and the lads that are doing as much slogging as inter-county fellas get their reward as well. But don't forget the club lads are doing this since January or February as well and have played anything up to the likes of... we've only got a couple of minutes left here, Jimmy. But the likes of, we'd say, Retort, that got to a league final and they've got a lot of dual players. A lot of their footballers would have played 3 or 4 Fesh Cup games, 11 or 12 league games. So they've 14 or 15 games at least under their belt already. And there's already been Premier Championships and a lot of the lads are eligible to play. So second team fellas would have played as well. So there's loads of football there for club players. But now it's just now is the time for the club players, and I know we're really looking forward to the start of the club championships this weekend.
Oh, we're looking forward to it further, but it's we haven't come up with a solution to all this either.
No,
so,
no.
I mean, we'll have to put our minds to that. But I mean, what is the solution? It's difficult. I know it is. It's difficult for the administrators, for the
fixture. Yeah, but I wouldn't be looking at that thing of where the GAA are conceding ground by playing the All Ireland in July. You're saying, oh well, you're allowing other sports take over our airwaves and that going into August and September. The work that TG Cahir do in promoting the game in the later part of the year in the club game is brilliant. It's absolutely phenomenal. And maybe the GAA need to look at streaming. So there's no reason why Trim against Simonstown next week shouldn't be streamed on MeGAA Go. Put MeGAA TV Go on the run and let people pay €3 or €4 if they want, or €5 or €6 if they want to sign in and watch it. I know there's lads from both clubs. We've never lost as many players in this county to travels and that this year.
As this year.
I'd say there's hundreds of young lads gone to Australia. How many of them would gladly pay a fiver to sit down and watch at 8 o'clock this morning and watch their team playing on a stream? But the GAA...
It's not only them, there's many other people as well, Fergus.
Exactly. But I'm just picking that as a cohort of people as an example. But the GAA are so far behind in that element of their promotion that they can't turn around, or people can't turn around and say, oh, well, we're conceding August and September now because the Premier League will be back. And it's really only the Premier League is all they're conceding to, because Formula One doesn't compete with it, and the golf majors are all finished. The NFL it starts up in September, but it's not a competitor. So this thing of, oh, we're conceding ground to other sports and we shouldn't be playing our All-Irelands in July, I don't buy into that. I think more time needs to be given to the club season and more consideration needs to be given to club players. As I said, 100% of the players in the country are club players.
Well, they've had their now. This has been an issue. I remember Liam Mulvihill years ago talking to him about 15 years ago. I did an interview with him and he was saying that we're going to address this issue, and this certainly did in the end. But no system is going to be ideal. If you go back to the September All-Ireland, I just heard some people over the weekend saying, oh, it's a pity, you know, it doesn't seem the same as it used to, you know.
I was there yesterday, Jimmy, and it was a brilliant occasion, and it wasn't September. Yeah, and I still got pissed on walking down to the grounds, you know, in the middle of July. So, you know, it felt like September, or maybe it felt like November, never mind that. But it was a brilliant occasion, and I don't think it diminishes the All-Ireland at all by playing it in July. But come here, listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Jimmy, you have a fascinating interview without giving too much away, because we do want people to buy the paper as well. You have a fascinating interview in the paper this week about sporting abuse that young players and that people in general are getting on the fields of sport, in football, in hurling, in rugby, in soccer, and something needs to be cracked down on it. And you've got a difficult story to tell, and just urge people to buy the Chronicle this week to read that story.
Yes, yeah, it's with a mother whose son has, you know, a certain condition in his leg where there's a certain amount of muscle mass. He's lost a certain amount of muscle mass in his leg, and and he's taken some comments over in recent weeks, really, some by adults, you know, and the hurtful, distressing comments are naturally enough. The youngster is only 16. Naturally enough, he was very distressed by these comments, and you know, going home to his mother, devastated. And the mother just said, you know, we've enough of this. We want to highlight this and try and do something about it. So that's what the interview is about, Fergal. Yes. So, you know, and it is a problem out there. It is.
Yeah, it really is.
Said to people.
Really is, buy the Chronicle today to read that story. It's a great piece, Jimmy, and well done. But also, we have the Irish Challenge happening in Headford this week. Golf Challenge, major golf competition in Headford. Headford, of course, probably in the top, well, in our opinion, top four or five golf clubs in Ireland, or golf courses in Ireland, especially that championship course. It's It's magnificent. So any golf fans can get down there to Headford, just outside Kells, for the challenge, the Irish Open Challenge, which is on there. Sure to be a great week. Hopefully the weather, just looking outside here, is, I think it's to get bad around Wednesday again, but it should be a good week of golf. So get down there to Headford. I think it's one that shouldn't be missed. Also, again, busy paper, as we said, Jimmy. Four pages on Mead Camogie's result in Thurles. We've got four-page preview to the football championships. We've got, you know, four or five pages on the senior hurling games that were on at the weekend. We've Brendan Boylan's column, of course, and we've all the information in A to Z as well and everything. So we better get back to work, Jimmy, if you want to have this paper.
Yeah, you get back to the office there, Fergal, and we missed a bit of banter from time to time. You're missed here, all right. So get the harness back on as quickly as possible, and hopefully you'll be...
We're getting there, Jimmy.
...fit to start the championship, and we'll talk later.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to another edition of the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, talking good games. Say hi!